Hello and welcome to episode 3, season 2 of our True Tales from Harrods podcast. Now, if you're wondering whose voice this is, my name is Raj Bassi and I am the Digital Content and Engagement Manager at Harrods. Usually I'm behind the scenes when it comes to our podcasts, but today I'm here to take over to talk about all things Christmas and Harrods. With me in the room is the one and only Simon Hampton, our Head of Visual Merchandising. Simon has an impressive LinkedIn. He's been at Harrods for 12 years and worked across many Christmas campaigns. He's featured on our Harrods Instagram, Facebook, and is known for his creative genius when it comes to Harrods windows. So let's not keep him waiting a minute longer. Welcome, Simon. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Raj. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honour to be on this podcast.
Amazing. I can't wait to get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Harrods.
Well, I think you've covered a chunk of that. I am Head of Visual Merchandising, so I have the honour of leading a team of very talented, creative visual merchandisers. We look after the whole of the customer journey from the windows through to all of the internal touch points, working very closely with all support divisions and also all the divisions within the business, such as retail, merchants. We sit very closely with all of our fellow business units within BED, which is the brand experience division. So working closely with our partnerships team, our marketing team, our digital team, our social team, really just making sure that everything that we do from a creative point of view is kind of consistent across all of those different touch points that go across the whole of that customer journey, both from the physical, the digital, across the media empire as well.
So that is quite a big role at Harrods. And how did you kickstart your career in visual merchandising?
Started off a while ago. And I was thinking back the other day actually about my kind of career history when someone asked me a similar question. And I started in retail 20 years ago, which is quite a scary thought. And similar to a lot of people in my position, started off as a Christmas temp within the retail industry on a high street store. And I started working from the ground upwards. I used to work in stock rooms. And then kind of really at that point got my kind of passion for retail generally and loved every kind of part of the business from the operations side. I initially started in retail management from both an assistant manager, working my way up to store management level. And it kind of got to a point where with a wider exposure of every division within retail, I kind of started to sideline where my passions lay, which was in more of the creative part of retail. And that was very much kind of just understanding and really enjoying how through tools such as mannequins and window displays, you can really engage and interact with your customers, how you can kind of influence them through kind of lifestyle, creativity and working along trends. And then kind of parked where I was from retail management, then moved into more of a visual merchandising world. And worked through numerous brands such as Gap, such as Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, did a slight sideline into the Arcadia Group, moved into Topshop. So I kind of got a real passion for that slight faster fashion part of the industry, which is a kind of really kind of useful tool to kind of set me up for Harrods. But within all those regions, just kind of started to continue to build up my kind of creative repertoire and a wider understanding of different parts of the retail industry.
That is so interesting because, full disclosure, I stalked your LinkedIn and I was like, how did he get into VM? Because you studied building surveying
yeah.
At university.
Yes, slightly random U-turn from a professional point of view, but loved my degree, loved everything that came with that and really kind of benefited from that kind of more interprofessional side of the business when I did my degree. But it was that first Christmas temp job in Gap in Bristol that really kind of just steered me initially temporarily from my degree course projection and moved into more of the retail business. But yes, it was a slight U-turn. It's still quite difficult to try and explain that to my parents about how I've landed up from retail after a four-year degree course in building surveying. But a lot of those things I did learn during my degree are quite useful now, especially when I'm interacting with the TSD and specifically now on big projects such as Dior, when I'm having to liaise with structural engineers and architects, etc. So there is a there is a slight link to my degree now, but also with the that kind of repertoire of more of a kind of a visual element through there. So nothing is wasted education in my books.
I do love a Christmas temp story, though. We have so many wonderful Christmas temp stories at Harrods. But since we're talking about Christmas, the fabulous world of Dior is now live.
It is indeed.
A year in the making. So tell us all about it. Where does it start?
Started last November, so November 21. Michael Ward was having a conversation with Alex Unis in the partnerships division saying, okay, well, what does Christmas 2022 look like? Who can we get on board from a brand point of view? Who do we think could be that big anchor brand to secure our Christmas? So we narrowed it down to three of our kind of big super brands who Alex Unit thought would be the ones who would have the investment power to work with us and also have the right creative direction. Because it's not about just getting a brand on board for the sake of having a brand on board. They still need to be right for our business and also right for what that outward messaging is at Christmas. You know, you still want to make sure that anything that we do at Christmas is family friendly, has a luxury twist to it, it appeals to both our luxury customers, but also our local residents as well, because year in, year out, historically, we've always been known as that destination for anyone, regardless of what your shopping or your spend habits are, as that kind of real destination for festivity during November and December. So we did about 7 different designs for Dior specifically on different, taking their kind of creative DNA, again, making it sure it was right for us. So one of the routes that we looked at was obviously to create numerous options for the partnership to approach Dior with. And we went from huge scale options, such as a giant star on the dome of the facade, through to 100 smaller stars all across the front. We also really wanted to work with them on an option of making all of our facade lights, all of our beautiful bulbs, similar to how we did for Tiffany, where we turned them all blue in the summer, to make them all sparkling. And I think if anyone's obviously seen how the Eiffel Tower in Paris looks, where they have that beautiful programmed sparkling light show, we really wanted to kind of work with them on that. So that was, again, something we added in. We also presented some options of an installation around door 5, a beautiful kind of festoon lighting span across Hans Crescent. So lots of different options that we presented. And presented this amazing pack that then Alex Unit and his team took to Dior this time last year to kind of really show them that we were really willing to give them that creative freedom to come back with ideas. So I think it was probably about May, where Alex Unit came back to us and said, we've got them. We finally got them on the line. They have agreed to be our main Christmas partner. So that was all good. And then really just continued to work with the brand very closely. We created this amazing big working team, not just with VM, very closely with partnerships, but also none of these projects just happen in Harrods. This is the biggest partnership we've ever had. The proposition that they finally came back to us, which went way beyond what our pitch pack was. That included they wanted to take over what was then the old Ladderay space, Café Juliette. So they wanted to take that over, make that a whole Dior cafe. They wanted to do an amazing lower ground floor exhibition. So we had to work very closely with them what those opportunities could be. So where it started out as being a Christmas creative of taking over the Brompton Road windows, the Hans Crescent windows, and doing a lovely little facade detail, soon escalated and grew into obviously what you see today with all the different touch points and exclusive product ranges that came from that. So it became, like I say, the biggest partnership project that I've ever worked on in the 12 years, and actually what the biggest one that we've ever had within Harrods. So very proud moments, obviously, to be part of that journey. But like I say, it wasn't just, I can't just sit here and take ownership that VM and partnership delivered that. Obviously, we were key players and continued to be throughout the journey. But without the support of our TSD division, as experts in their field, and when it came down to the actual installation detail, working with our on-site engineers, our lighting guys, our specialists within security, everyone working together, again, alongside our marketing division, our publishing division, because all of those threads played into this bigger campaign as well, that it was a massive, massive team effort from both the Harrods side and the Dior side, that the working party sat round a table was huge. So it really does just showcase that the amount of talented people within Harrods who are required to really kickstart and ensure that these partnerships can happen and will hopefully continue to happen is something truly amazing.
Yeah, for me, it just beautifully exemplifies like what Together Harrods stands for. Like this is an example of what a Together Harrods moment is. Yeah. By the way, it looks absolutely beautiful. I walk from Hyde Park and when I see it, I'm in awe every single time.
It is amazing. And I think I was saying to a colleague yesterday that they were saying, oh, from the minute it was up, did you love it? Did you stand there and love it? And I said, it was difficult because when you've seen something and you've looked yeah. at it and you've been part of it to such a level of detail of working with Dior, going down to the production house twice a week to sign off materials, to sign off samples. What was really amazing with working with Dior, with their level of detail is beyond anything I've experienced. A fun fact that there was a four-week period of trying different types of gingerbread bake.
Oh my God.
We sat
that
there.
That sounds insane.
We sat there with 12 actual pieces of gingerbread that they had baked in Paris, brought them over, and then we had to sample them with the materials that had been chosen to do different finishes, different textures, different levels of fake sugar on top to give you that just right level of baked. So what you see on the facade now, on the frames, all the giant stars, etc., went through such a journey that the creative director of Dior could finally go, I am happy with that level of gingerbread bake. That's the kind of the amazing level of detail that they worked on this project. And even just to the level of icing detail, how much icing should be on each frame was fascinating and really lovely to kind of partner with them on that. But like I say, when someone asked me, did you love it on that first night or first morning we went live, I stood there and I said, ask me in a week because I need to step away from it to then come back and see it again with fresh eyes. And I luckily had the opportunity to go on holiday for a week, came back, stood on Brompton Road, and obviously was in awe of it, loved it, the scale, the amount of production that was into it. A tear came into my eye, but not just because what we produced, but standing there and watching customers, people walking to work, people on buses, general public standing there, photographing it, videoing it, like in silence, going, wow, look at that. That is what makes it worthwhile. That is what's going on those 2 weeks of night shifts, standing in the wind and the rain, gale force winds, closing Brompton Road to be able to put five giant cranes up to lift a 17-metre star onto the facade. That made it worthwhile by actually seeing people love it. And that then fell back in love with the project and fell in love with it. And even now when, you know, we're 2.5 weeks in, looking on social media, looking at people from who I follow and for the wider business, still showcasing, videoing down Hans Crescent, photographing their food in the Dior cafe, showcasing the exhibition it's that that makes it worthwhile going on these journeys with, because it's such a proud moment to say that Harrods have delivered this. No other department store would demonstrate such flexibility with a brand or really allow themselves to be turned into this Dior empire, but still retaining our own Harrods credentials.
Absolutely. And I've always wanted to ask this, just as a fellow creative, where do you get your ideas from? Like, when you were presenting those packs to Dior, you know, what were your sources of inspiration?
Well, I think I get inspiration from everywhere. I get inspiration from my travels. I get inspiration from having conversation with peers. I get inspiration just walking around, watching TV.
That is me too. If I'm ever stuck on an idea, I actually put my headphones in and go for a walk and then that's it.
Yeah, yeah. It's the best way to, it's almost, A, it gives you that kind of clear plateau to allow your mind to be filled with things. But I think it's about having that open mind, about allowing, you know, anything from, I know this sounds really silly, but when I'm at the gym and I'm watching music videos, you know, just the curation, the level of digital, the innovation that comes from a music video, I'll go, God, that's a really great tool that I'd love to try and add into a in-store pop-up, or love that kind of materialism to put into a window build, for example. But it's really taking inspiration from everything you see, from things that have been in the past, things that are happening now around you, lifestyles, influences, but also things you see on social media. You know, when I first started in the industry 15 years ago, when I started in the kind of visual world, there's no such thing as social media at that point. You had to rely on, you know, there was barely an internet that was credible, that you had to rely on the physical. You had to rely on walking into a building and taking inspiration from an architecture, or, you know, going through magazines, digests, etc., that you can pull inspiration from. So there's a lot now that you can get from the social world that does inspire me and, you know, encourages my teams as well.
And because the social world moves so fast, do you ever feel pressured to constantly outdo what you've done last year? Like, okay, fast forward to Christmas 2023, which you're probably planning right now.
Yes,
is there an immense amount of pressure to do better?
I think as creatives, we never like to settle.
Yeah.
And a word Alex Wells Greco has always instilled in me and the rest of our team is to dream big. And it's something that I will always and have always just taken as a bit of a mantra is we do great things every year, but we never try and settle. So we're always looking, to your point, always looking to outdo ourselves. And it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you think you've got to the point each year, go, how can we make that better? How can we make it bigger? How can we make it different? How can we make it more competitive with other brands, other stores? So you're always chasing yourself to get there. But that is why we work so closely with such talented people, both in Harrods and externally, to really pull everyone's creative resource to ensure that we have got those skill sets to try and deliver better. And to your point, yes, there's not really a day within retail that you don't really utter the word Christmas.
Yeah.
As sad as that sounds and as bewildering as that sounds, we are always talking Christmas and we're always looking at what that next opportunities are. But, you know, what's in the creative field now, you know, I'd be foolish to say that we'll just settle with what we've got. You know, we're always looking how we do dream bigger, but that can be pulling resource from what innovation there is. You know, where is digital innovation taking us? What does that look like in 2 years' time, rather than going, what's available now? What's likely to be available in 5 years' time? So we can get ahead of the game. And also looking at what's developing and through materials, what's developing in different fabrication opportunities. When you're looking at building a run of windows, not just settling for a methodology that you've used historically for the last 10 years, one of these new ways of working and the new ways of developing construction and production with new supplies, for example. So it's not also just about making sure that I'm thinking creatively what's next. It's making sure that we're working with the right people who are already thinking about what is creatively next going to be happening our way. So it's a real journey.
You've got me really excited for next year now, because in my head I'm like, how are they going to top this?
It's going to be hard. I think it is going to be hard. You know, are we going to see, you know, last year when we did the Chanel bottle around door five, you know, I thought that we were going to go, that's the biggest of my career that we've done. You know, we've successfully done a huge product placement outside door five. You know, I was like, well, that'll be it. At that point, when we installed that, I never knew we'd have a 17-meter star and over 14 million LED lights across our facade of the building. But we've got there, you know. So is it an 18-meter installation next year? Who knows? But we're never going to settle.
Yeah, we have run so many great campaigns, like the box at the door five, is it? Yeah,
that was
first, amazing.
And that what was lovely about that, that was obviously a purely Harrods-led creative. And then that obviously set that appetite for Chanel for last year. So, you know, and I think everyone looks back and go, oh, Chanel did something big at door five. But actually, we did that the year before with the giant gift box. You know, Harrods led that creative, which was then used as a tool to then sell into Chanel to say, we've done this previously. What can we do better here? And again, with Chanel, the previous Christmas, we did that creative pitch to them as well. So we gave them that offer of doing a giant Chanel number five bottle. They then tailor-made that to their own creative. But again, that came as a Harrods-led initiative. So yeah, we're looking back, but also very much firmly looking forward.
Absolutely. And I want to flip the narrative ever so slightly, and I want to get to know you a bit more, Simon, if that's okay.
You may
do. So What does Christmas look like with all of your creative genius? What does Christmas look like in the Hampton household?
This year, and this is probably going to sound really sad, actually, and I, against my partner's best wishes, I do evolve my Christmas creative every year as if it was a retail environment, because A, I get bored of doing the same thing every year. So, and I like to purchase new things, usually from Christmas World. You know, when you've worked on Christmas World all year round and you've seen the product lines, you've known what's stunning from August onwards once you install it. Always, you know, getting a sneaky ball ball or taking one of the creative themes. But actually, and as you all know from walking around the store, we've done some amazing garlands within the in-store, all of our beauty area, all of our ground floored portals. Have all got the beautiful garland with the gold foliage across that. And actually, when we worked on that creative, I instantly thought, do you know what? This was actually looking quite nice in my tree at home. So I actually started to slowly purchase the similar elements that we've used for our in-store Christmas theme into my home. So yes, it's a gold extravaganza through the Hampton household this year. But who knows what that'll be next year.
Your partner must love that though, having a...
No. I think he finds it a slight waste of money, to be honest. He's from a finance background, so he doesn't really kind of understand that kind of creative journey. He'd be happy with the same stuff every year. So I put a couple of historic baubles that we have out, so I'm not replacing them every year, but yeah, I do like to step it up each year and interpret my kind of similar creative theme that we do in store.
Amazing. And we're doing a piece of content with our colleagues asking them about their unique Christmas traditions and how they celebrate. Is there any unique Christmas traditions for you?
Probably not unique to me. It's overeating, over drinking, numerous celebrations with family and friends. Started last weekend, my first kind of friends Christmas.
I love that. We tend to do
different. Yes. We all do at a different house each year, and it was actually our time to host this year. So obviously did the Christmas tree quite early this year, so we'd have a festive look and feel around the house for that. But no, it's finding the opportunity to have as much time to spend with family and friends, which is hard when you work within the retail environment. As quick as we're installing, we're planning to remove everything. So the window of holiday period over Christmas is quite limited, similar to a lot of people probably listening to this who do work within the industry. But the time I do get off, I will be spending with friends, spending with family, and just enjoying the festive season.
Amazing. And anything you're putting on your Christmas list?
Same as I do probably most years, and it's flights.
Oh,
For me, travel is the freedom to travel, and specifically now that the world is opening up a lot more, the gift of travel is for me far more important and precious than physical gifting. And I've got enough things in my life. It does make it hard when I'm walking over to around Harrods every day, going, well, that'd be nice, that bag would look nice. But no, for me, it's actually being able to flights, holidays, hotels, that's on my wish list for gifts for 2022.
It's so nice to switch off as well, especially when you work on such big campaigns, that respite is so important.
Yes. Yeah. And we've had about probably 5 minutes respite until we move on to the next one. So as much as I'd like to say there were weeks of downtime between projects, the pace that Harrods works at is immense, but obviously super exciting. You know, that the journey, you end one journey, you move straight on to the next one. And we've got some super exciting things happening for early January. And obviously at the moment we're planning for not just Christmas 2023, but what the rest of our creative journey looks like for the whole of 2023.
And that actually brings me on to my final question. So Christmas is a very important but small part of your role. What can we look forward to in 2023?
I'm really looking forward to 2023. I think we've got a lot of opportunities. We've now established a really strong team within both Visual, how we're working now with the partnerships team on forward planning all of our upcoming brand partnerships, how we're really looking, how we link in our kind of seasonal campaigns. There's going to be a really great push for some of our seasonality within food and gifting for both Easter, for Valentine's. Some really exciting installations coming up with that. Doing some further international projects as well. So working with the international team on developing some really fun initiatives in the Shanghai tea rooms. But yeah, we're going to have some... The focus this year for us is really looking at innovation and technology. So really looking at how within our windows we can get more digital presence, but not just having digital screens, you know, working with specific suppliers now and looking at how different innovations with digital technology can give us not just the presence of using digital assets, but how that physically works with product, with mannequins, supports brand partnerships. So that's going to be one of our big pushes for both our windows and in-store propositions, is really just how we are modernizing our creative outlook. So it's not just thinking about a beautiful statement of mannequins in fashion, but actually how can fashion product work well with a kind of digital display element. So that's going to be myself and my team's really big direction this year. Obviously, really encouraged by Alex Wells Greco as well.
Yeah, that sounds so exciting. We must get you back here for another podcast to tell us
more than happy
how it's going. But before we let you go, any final words? Anything you want to share?
I would just obviously for anyone listening to this who hasn't already seen the amazing Dior exhibition and the Dior external facade detailing and obviously all of the windows, come down to Harrods, come down and see it, come and celebrate myself and my teams and the wider Harrods teams and Dior teams' dedication, hard work and creative output, because it is an awe-inspiring project. It's something that we are all super proud of, and I think it's something that cannot be missed. For anyone coming to London, come and see what we have here in Knightsbridge. It's certainly put us on the map as that go-to place for both your Christmas shopping destination, your Christmas dining location, but also just to come and be amazed and delighted, because, you know, it's all about that surprise and delight at Christmas. And I think anyone coming to Harrods for Christmas shopping or for those anyone who is passing by Harrods, it's something that cannot be missed.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. It's been truly magnificent.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
There we have it. The story behind our Christmas windows from the man himself, Simon, our head of visual merchandising. Thanks so much, Simon, for taking the time to talk to us. If you haven't seen The Wonderful World of Dior, make sure you check it out. It's truly fabulous. If you'd like to receive the new episode as soon as it's available, be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. Meanwhile, we wish everyone a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year. Until next year, goodbye and can't wait to speak soon.